This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, Alison, what have we been doing?
Oh, thank you so much for allowing us to do whatever it is we've been doing. Bye. Just kidding. It's been a brilliant sort of mixture of all sorts of travelling and staying put and enjoying all sorts of different things. I particularly enjoyed a couple of art things. I did do my art course, which I think I've mentioned before I went, actually, but that was a challenge, and it was just great. It was a lot of outdoors. So I was challenged. I've discovered something about our relationship on that course, because what I hadn't bargained for was having to carry a big rucksack full of stuff.
Where were you going? You haven't explained.
I was going. Yeah, we were doing 5 days. Well, the last day was in the studio. 4 days of solid trekking across dales and some long walks, and we were carrying all sorts of art stuff and food and a stool to sit on. I hadn't bargained for that, and I'd realised that all for the last 40 odd years of our marriage, David's carried the bag, and I had to stagger. Right, it's like a snowball effect. It's got momentum when you've got a great big rucksack on your back. And I have to say, at one point, I did miss my footing on the side of a stream, and the rucksack took me rolling down, and I ended up head first with my feet sticking up the side, and I could not get up. And I'd been dreading being the old one that was lagging behind all the time, and so I was like, oh, it had to be me that fell down the thing. Are you all right? We thought you'd fallen in the stream. I didn't get wet, actually, but so that was an interesting one. But it was just a replenishing time to chat, and I did learn some. I learned the value of experiencing something as opposed to just sitting down and drawing something. I came away with an experience of being in a place and how to just absorb it and experience it and then sort of express it, which I think goes beyond just that. I mean, I think that's for all of us. There's value in just the experience of being in wherever we are. So that was great. And just an exciting development on. The ones that know me well will know I've been on an art journey since I was born, because that's part of who I am. And just moving out of our house, our big move, has been a very freeing thing. And I think for me, it's enabled me to be much more free to go with, not that I wasn't going with what God had got before, but we actually are physically free in different ways to just go with where God's leading us. And in terms of the art thing, so we moved out of the house and I left behind a studio, didn't have anywhere to do anything. I mean, I could do little bits, but it just was psychologically different from having a space that's designated to do the art stuff. So for 9 months, I said to God, if there is space, if you have a space for me right here, then just show me where it is. If you haven't, it's fine. I'll make do with the small space we've got. You know, I was absolutely open-handed about it. And I went round Meanwood, where we live, for 9 months, just popping into places that have got signs saying, you know, spaces to let, nothing. And then I'd popped into one place that I'd been a few times, and at a very, very significant moment, and the chap who owns the place was like, I can't believe you've popped in at this time. And I said, I can't believe you're telling me this, because they were actually working out how they were going to close the business and move out of the space. And the space is a space that I'd seen and thought, I'd love to be in there. I'd absolutely love to. Anyway, it feels like God's just opening doors for me art-wise. So we've got the keys to a really great art space. So we're just refreshing it a bit, and then I'm going to be doing some stuff in there, which is very exciting. But I feel like it's a God thing, it's a kingdom thing, and it's God has planted us in Meanwood for now and for the next however long. And what this space is giving us is connection with lots of people in the just around that we would never have connection before, and I'm really excited about that.
Meanwood, by the way, if you don't know, the area is just a community next door to this one that we're in Headingley. So that's an exciting part. It's worth having a sabbatical just to get that organised and underway. We also had some holiday, but we also drove 2,000 miles around the British Isles researching revival. You may or may not know what that means, but the British Isles has a long history of God just doing amazing things out of nowhere. And so we wanted to find out a bit more. We've watched some stuff online, we've read some books, and we decided to go and visit the actual places where it happened. So if you drive north as far as you can, northwest up to a place called, from your side, Ullapool, which is almost as far as you can go in Scotland, and it's really remote and miles from anywhere, and it's amazing that people live there. You then get on a boat for 2 or 3 hours and go further to an island called the Outer Hebrides. We went out there, and they've got great electric vehicle charging points there. Can you believe that?
It's amazing.
Amazing. Anyway, we went right out there to a famous Hebridean revival, which happened in 1949, and then we drove down to southwest Wales, right at the edge of Wales below Aberystwyth, where there was a very famous, and into Swansea, where there was a really famous revival in 1859 and in 1904. And then we drove a long way round past Bristol back into the far southwest of Cornwall down to Land's End to investigate more revival stuff there, lots of Wesley stuff and Booths, you know, who became the Salvation Army. So we've got lots of thoughts about that, and the Lord's been speaking to us about that. Not going to share on that today, but that will come out in the coming weeks and months.
We said that bit, but what am I doing now? Oh, well, we did, and we had a holiday. We got a really good deal holiday. It sounds like it's been one big holiday, but you know, it's been we had a holiday where we weren't charging about looking for revival sites, although we did visit some amazing, we saw some first and second century amazing mosaics on floods. It was in Cyprus, so there's a lot of, we found that stone thing that Paul was supposed to have tied to. I mean, it was really ancient and great seeing first century, second century things and pre things that before that, but amazing mosaics and historical things, and it was great. There was a lot of sport going on.
Shall we share that? No,
let's just go on to that bit.
Go on.
Well, it's been so an interesting for me, because doing what we do can be all consuming in your head. So to just be able to stop for a length of time has been really, really, really helpful. And to have a length of time so that you can actually get it out of your head, because it takes a while to just, you know, let it just all go. And what I've really loved has been being in that space of not of being sort of relaxed, and I suppose I can't think of a way of saying it, but anyway, and just but still seeing God do things. So we've had opportunities along the way to, he's given us words for people, some locally, and interesting, the local people, it's been people that we will continue having relationship with. So that I'm really excited by that. We were sitting in the cafe in Meanwood Park in the early days I was just getting my head around the fact that we had 3 months off. I think it was in the early days, so I wasn't thinking anything else other than, oh, this is amazing. One of the ladies walked by that we know a bit, and I just had this word came into my head, and I'm like, oh, I think I need to go and just speak to her about this word. So I did, and she teared up, and it was a really it was a, she said, "You've made my day." And that was it, because we'll see her. We'll see her, you know, we've got, she works around and about Meanwood, and we'll see her around. And that was just, so it was just little things like that. And
probably all we've got time for.
I know. Well, just on, so it was basically, we had words for people we will see who are in our world, but also just randomly for people that we'll never see again. And it was just, that was really exciting.
Okay. That's it for you. Yeah, we're not going to do that. I haven't got time.
Are you doing your bit?
Yeah. Oh, bye, darling. There was one, we were in a place called Cardigan. It's not something you wear, it's a place you go to down in Wales. And we were sitting in a cafe with a lovely view down a valley. And we're not very good at taking photos. And we thought, oh, must get a photograph. This is an opportunity. So we asked the guy on the table next to us, would you mind taking a photo? And then we got chatting to him. I just felt that we needed to talk to him a bit. And it turns out he's a vicar in Birmingham. And but what was interesting was that we asked him, you know, to tell us his story a bit. And he said he came to faith in his, he'd been a teacher for several years in his late 20s, I think, because Jesus appeared to him in a dream. I love that. And then Alison, we didn't get a chance to pray for him, but Alison prophesied over him as he goes back, because his parish is mainly immigrant population. And amongst the immigrant population, we're getting lots of stories of Jesus appearing in dreams and in amazing ways. And Alison was able to prophesy over him that he's going to see that in Birmingham. So we didn't exchange numbers or anything, but I'm going to watch out for stories coming from Birmingham. One very short story I'll tell you, and then I want to finish by looking at, just to spend a few minutes just at a verse in James, and then we'll pray for one another. So we went to the Outer Hebrides, and the up until very recently, and in some places even now, the primary language there is Gaelic. And certainly in 1949, when the revival happened there, that was the main language. So they spoke in Gaelic. And my one of the reasons we went up there was because my ancestors come from there. I think I'm 1/8 from Ullapool. I think it's 1/8. So we were able to do some research in Ullapool as well as over on the island. And it was a very similar Calvinistic, conservative, very old-fashioned, we would say, form of religion, form of Christianity, where they spoke Gaelic to each other. And they didn't believe in musical instruments. So they had no musical instruments. They didn't believe in singing songs. The only thing you're allowed to sing was the Psalms, because those were God's songs. And they rewrote the Psalms in rhyming couplets. They're already structured in couplets, but they rewrote them in Gaelic rhyming couplets. And they would sing what's known as metrical psalms. In Helen would explain to me one day about how the harmonies work, and I could hear, you can hear on YouTube. And I went into a museum where they were playing it, and in these little churches packed out with people, during singing these metrical psalms at the tops of their voices. And what struck me was that that was where the Holy Spirit chose to bring revival. Not in a bright, shiny, fully in tune, lots of AV, smoke machines, banners outside, fantastic preaching type church, but in a tiny, old-fashioned church on the edge of the known world. That's where the Spirit of God came. So he can come here even when we get it wrong. And he will. We believe God's told us he used to fill this church, and he will fill it again. And we're expecting God to come, whether or not we can get all the pews taken out or not, whether or not we can have, you know, everything working brilliantly, whether or not we do it in Gaelic or any other language. I've got a new toy here, so I'm just figuring out how it works. Ah, it's back. Right. We'd like to turn to James, the book of James. The Bible's a really good thing to read, brothers and sisters. Seth Joshua, one of the revivalists from South Wales, says that an encounter with the written word, which is another way of describing the Bible, makes a staircase to an encounter with the living word, which is Jesus. Another way of describing Jesus. An encounter with the living word makes a staircase to the written word makes a staircase to the living word. Brothers and sisters, read the Bible. Read it every day. Spend time in Scripture. As you do that, as you encounter Scripture, you will encounter Jesus. James chapter 4. If there's Bibles in the pews, what number is it? What page number is it? 914 in the Bibles in the pews, or you can use an app. Just Version is the one I use, or you can use, I'll go on the website, Bible Gateway. That's very good. Find John chapter 4. Before I get onto that, one of the things we've come back with from our sabbatical is this sense that expectancy about the future. So I'm getting on. Okay, I'm a bit older than nearly everybody here. Thank you. That's another year gone. So it's easy to drop into looking backwards at my life and looking backwards at our ministry here. But I sense the Lord's forcing me to shift to look forwards. And that what we've done together here, brothers and sisters, in the Headingley Methodist Church and before that in other venues and in Buying Vineyard House, that's we're not coming to the end of anything. We're just at the beginning. The revival stories take place. We see the fruit of the revivals over decades and centuries. The people who initiate them often never see the results. We're at the beginning of something here, brothers and sisters. What the Holy Spirit chooses to do with us is only just beginning. The best is definitely yet to come. Before we set off, the staff team were praying for us, and Alex had a picture of one of those. Do you remember those toys that you pull back, the cars, and you pull back and it winds up, and you let them go and whoosh, it goes off. And I feel a bit like that. I feel a bit wound up. Because I think there's somewhere to go. We've got things to do, places to reach out to we want to see the kingdom of God in breaking into what's happening in Headingley and in Leeds and into our lives. More of that later. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, James, by the way, is I don't know, he's either Jesus' brother or he's one of the disciples. We're not absolutely sure, but he knew Jesus really well. And when he writes, he doesn't write like Paul with theological treaties and arguments. If he were around today, he would just use Instagram. He just does pictures. That's all he does, word pictures. And it's fascinating reading that. Do you remember Sarah preaching about this a couple of years ago, where she had a real tongue, great big tongue? That's one of the pictures that he used. He would have loved that, Sarah. He would have loved that way of doing it. Chapter 13, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Isn't that what our economy is all about? Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. For just 2 minutes, I want to look at verse 14. What is your life? What is your life? What a great question. Life has been our theme, hasn't it, for this season, for this year. This life, this this life that has been given to you, your individual life that's been given to you, it's a God-given gift. He knew you before you were born. Before you were conceived, he knew you. You are known. That's where your identity comes from, because you were known from the outset. You have been loved and saved and pulled back into relationship with God, your Creator. You are expected. One day when Jesus returns, he's expecting you to be with him. This life you've been given is known, it's loved, and it's expected. It's not your social media life. It's not the what everybody else sees out there, whether you curate it or just let it happen. It's not your presumption about what might happen or your entitlement. For me, a lot of my life is seen by me looking backwards, because I've got a lot of years behind me and I can picture it. For many of you, those of you who are younger in particular, you've got a long way ahead of you, and it's sort of being constructed in your mind. I want you to think about, what is your life? Do you love it? Do you love this gift God has given you, with all its history, with all its future? Paul Merson, the footballer of my generation, played for Arsenal in England, alcoholic, gambler, got himself in all sorts of bother. I was listening to a podcast, Alison and I were listening to a podcast about, as he, for the first time ever, he walked in the Yorkshire Dales for a day on his own and confronted his life. And he said about his life, he says, I hated myself, talking about his previous life. I hated myself, so how could I love anyone else? Do you hate yourself, or do you love the life God has given you? We talk about body dysmorphia now, don't we? About that conflict between what we feel like and what we see. Do you love your body, what God has given you? I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, to look at your life and to think about repentance for the past. Things that you need to repent of and confess, and most importantly, receive forgiveness for. I want you to think about the things that are in your life now which force you to compromise, of doubtful habits, and I want you to put them aside by the power of God's Spirit, and I want you to receive the Holy Spirit and obey what he says. So I want to pray that over you, if you would like that. Why don't you stand if you're able? What is your life? Let's come to him with our lives, just thinking about our lives, just the bits that nobody else sees, as we look inside, beyond the surface. Some of it we don't even know. We've pushed it down, or we don't know the future. But God knows. He knows your life. And he loves you. And he's made a way for you to be restored to him. And he's expecting you.